Coach, you were in that game in 1978. I told you the story. I missed that game because we were playing a touring Swedish team, and the VCR was working only in time to come home and watch the end of it. First off, emotions going into a game like that. It's the pinnacle. You work all year, your whole career in some cases, for a game like that. What did those kids feel when they walked onto the floor that night?
Well, one thing about it, you know, being a country kid from a little small town in Kentucky, you know, had seen the Final Fours, had never been to one before, my first time, being in the city of St. Louis, flying there, so everyone was excited. The first thing that happened, Jonesy, was the shoot-around, the practice, the open practice.
Right.
It was a packed house. It was more people there, just as many people there as it was for the game. So we out there shooting jump shots, trying to get used to the arena. So everyone's nervous, couldn't make a bucket, couldn't make a basket. So we had one of the hardest practices of the year that day, the day before the first game, just to get the jitters out,
right,
just to get our bodies going and get our minds going and think about the game. So that really prepared us for the next day when the real game came, when we played Notre Dame the first game. I think it was Notre Dame.
Yeah.
It was Notre Dame the first game. No, it was Arkansas. I'm sorry. It was Arkansas.
Notre Dame played Duke.
Yeah. And we played Arkansas. So the next day, we were ready for that physical contact, the athletes, Delph, Moncrief, and Brewer, that group of three athletes for Arkansas. So we were prepared for that. But we were excited. We knew how hard the season was. We had lost two games the whole year. And our whole goal the entire year was to win a national championship. Not the SEC championship, not the conference championship, but a national championship. So that was the pressure that we went through the entire season with the whole year.
Yeah.
More pressure for you guys, too, because it's Kentucky. And you know, we kind of laugh about this, but there are some places, the same way in the NBA, if you're the Lakers or the Celtics or, you know, the Miami Heat in this case, getting to the dance is not good enough. You've got to be the one dancing, standing at the end.
No question. And that is a lot of pressure. And that's a year in, year out pressure that you have at Kentucky. We had the similar pressure, which helped me as a coach in Dallas, because going into that final year, Mark Cuban, the owner, wanted to win a championship.
Right.
That was our, not to get into the playoffs, but to win a championship. So you work at that level in practice, in mental preparation, or whatever it is, every day, thinking but nothing less than winning a championship. And that's why, as a young kid at Kentucky, I didn't think it was anything different.
Right.
So, because our practices our practices every day were hard, grinded out practices, full tilt, going at each other, but it helped us get prepared to win a national championship.
What do you remember about the game, Dwayne? You know, Jack Givens, 41 points that night, and it was a close game. I mean, I think the final score was like 94-88. It was nip and tuck, as many points as Goose was scoring. You guys could never get separation from Duke.
No question. Jack had to have a phenomenal game for us to win. I remember they played a 2-3 zone, Coach Bill Foster for Duke at that time, before Coach Krzyzewski had gotten there, had a 2-3 zone. And throughout the whole tournament, I think we had played against the Michigan State zone once, 2-3 zone with Magic Johnson and Kelser and that group in Dayton. So we had a little experience playing against the zone, but Jack was the only guy that night that could make a bucket. So we kept flashing Jack into the middle of the floor, mm-hmm. into the middle of the lane, in the dead area between the zone. He kept making shots. That's what I remember about that night. And then Rick Roby getting some key offensive rebounds from against them playing zone.
Right.
I mean, Duke had a pretty good team, too. They sent some guys to the pros. You think of Spinarkle and some of those guys. Gene Banks, right? Talk to me about the feeling when they wouldn't go away. I mean, it was that close. And everybody thought, you know, Kentucky gets up, gets ahead, and this is it. But they never went away.
Well, we knew that Banks and Spinarkle were two very, very good players. And Banks was highly recruited out of high school, out of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So we knew how talented he was. And they just, like you said, kept making shots, kept coming at us, didn't back down. They could care less that Kentucky, we were ranked number one the entire season. And so they kept coming at us, you know, being aggressive defensively, even in their zone. Their zone was like a man-to-man because they guarded the ball in a very physical way. But again, we kept on saying, yeah, they're not quitting. They're not quitting. So we had to stay. But again, it goes back to Jonesy. Our goal was to win a championship. And we had worked so hard that year that he kept us from backing down and giving in. Even as the game got tougher and longer, we had prided ourselves on working so hard and being prepared for that moment. It helped us in that situation.
When you think about winning a championship at Kentucky, Pat Riley used to say in the NBA, there's no losing. There's relief and misery. How much relief do you think Coach Hall felt? I mean, it was a goal for you guys, but for him as a coach, it was almost like relief, wasn't it?
No question. That is a great way of putting it, because he wasn't really even excited. It was more like he was relieved after we won the championship. And even ourselves, when I think back to it now as an older, more mature person, I look back now, it wasn't like we were happy, excited, but it was more a relief. Man, we did it, got it over with, you know, because right after that, they started talking about winning the championship the next year, you know, so it was a relief. But again, it was a lot of fun. But again, I could just imagine the relief and the pride Coach Hall had, because he had so much pressure on him following Coach Rupp, who had won championships there. And Coach Hall had followed him there as a head coach, so the pressure was on him to win a championship, two or three times before we had won it that year in '78.
Coach, the translation of a game from the college to the pros, different games, and I mean, you look at, and a whole bunch of names come to mind. You look at a guy like Michael Jordan. He was good in college, but nobody saw that coming. You look at, you know, some of those kids at Georgetown, Ewing, Mutombo, they were good, but not sure people saw coming what they did in the pros. Thinking back to that game, did people think that Goose Givens, that Jack might have been a better pro? I mean, he had a decent pro career, but did people think that he might take off because of a game like that? And is it fair to put so much stock in? I mean, I look at a kid like Trey Burke. I look at some of the kids from Louisville, like Siva and Smith and those guys. Is it fair to put that much stock in the game and expect it to translate to the next level?
No, it's fair to say everyone thought that Jack was going to be a great NBA player. We knew that Jack had deficiencies as far as handling the ball at 6'5", and in the pros, he'd probably have to be a two-guard more so than he would be a small forward or power forward in the pros. So we knew he had some work to do, but we knew Jack could do one thing, he could shoot it.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to translate unless this guy's just a freak of nature athletically that can make that translation to the next level. You can kind of see guys, we felt like Gene Banks would be a good pro, Spinarkle, Brewer and Delf and those guys, we felt like they were going to be good pros looking back at that time. But it's very difficult to translate that just because the pro game is so different than the college game. You know, everyone says, okay, let's go to the draft, let's get these picks. And there's probably two or three guys that are surefire picks, and rest of them, to me, Jonesy, is an educated guess, because just my years in college, my years in recruiting in college, it's difficult to do it from high school to college, so I know how difficult it could be, it is to go from college to the pros to predict who's going to make it and who's not going to make it.
Coach, last thing before we go. You mentioned recruiting, and that's a key. Some of these places, I look at Wichita State having made it to the Final Four. I mean, Rick Pitino and Louisville speaks for itself, but how much does it aid your recruiting when you can point, I mean, you know, John Beilein, Michigan, these guys are going to point and say, hey, we were there last year. How much does it help your recruiting to be on a stage like that?
Huge. I mean, Rick Pitino, but being there multiple times, also him being an NBA coach, Kentucky, you've got multiple banners. UCLA, you have multiple banners.
Right.
Michigan now going there, Wichita State. All those schools will gain from the notoriety of saying, hey, we went to the Final Four. Come join us. Be a part of the ride going forward, of being part of our program. But the Kentuckys, the Georgetowns, the North Carolinas, the Dukes, all those schools have that great advantage, as does Alabama in football.
Right.
Those football schools have a huge advantage because it's tradition, and you cannot change or you can't fight tradition. And that's something that we always use at Kentucky, is come be a part of a winner, be a part of a team that not hope and dreams of going to national championship, but that is our yearly goal, is to win a national championship. So if you want to win championships or be a part of a championship team, come to Kentucky.
Last thing, How much do you get together with those guys? Do you relive it? I mean, I know every championship team has a reunion. I watched a 30 for 30 on Jim Valvano's team this year and them sitting around the table. There's got to be some times when you guys get together and chew the fat and kind of relive it.
Well, they just had one last month, and I wasn't able to go because we had a game that day. And then 5 years ago, they've been trying to do it every 5 years. And 5 years ago, I was able to go. It was the day after my daughter was born. I got a lot of grief for that. So she came home from the hospital, and I took off, went to our reunion. So we try to do it. It's great to see everyone. Everyone's doing fine, and we talk about the games. We talk about how tough Coach Hall was and how crazy he was as a coach, and it reminds me of myself now. So as far as putting pressure on yourself to win, do well, and prepare your team. So, but Coach Hall is up in his 90s now, doing very well, and I talked to him about 2 weeks ago, and just, you know, to talk to him, to check on him, see how he's doing, and send him pictures of my kids, and just to stay in touch. So that, you know, you'll always be close to those guys, and Coach Hall will always be a father figure, you know, as long as I'm around.